This evening we're going to return to our short series of studies in Proverbs chapter 24. Five more wise words, one short selection of wise sayings from the book of Proverbs. This evening we're going to be looking at a single verse from Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verse 26, Proverbs 24, 26. So will you find that? Will you put your finger in there? And then will you turn with me to Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, Romans chapter 16. And we are going to read together verses 1 through 23. Now, I don't know if Paul had a copy of the congregation in Rome, congregational directory before him as he wrote. If that were the case, I expect it was likely a well-thumbed and much prayed over copy of the congregational directory. But I rather think that Paul had no need for any such memory aid. These were people whom he knew well, whom he loved dearly, and for whom he was able to pray, not just with thanksgiving, but also very knowledgeably. Will you listen as I read from God's Word? Romans chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchrae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has become a patron of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, for whom not only I give thanks, but the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Dasyncritus, Phygelon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. That's the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are warmed as we read this series of heartfelt greetings exchanged among the saints. We thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the bonds which unite your people. We pray that we as your people might be instructed from your word this Lord's Day evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26, our text for this evening. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Sometimes when I'm at the Giant, I wander into the card aisle. I'm an easily distractible grocery shopper. And I often find my attention caught by the cards, and I'll take one down and have a look at it. It was very clever. I put it back, and here's another one. Oh, well, that one goes back up quickly, and some others have wise words in them. Oh, those Hallmark card writers, what a job they have. What a witty bunch they are. I've never seen this written in a card. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. In fact, what section of the card display is that going to go in? The friendship section? The humor section? The romance section? Actually, the Old Testament doesn't involve a lot of romantic kissing. We might wonder, what occasion is this sentiment appropriate for? And then we remember the context of our verses in Proverbs chapter 24, and we saw that the context is one that is strongly flavored by the atmosphere of the courtroom. This is the greeting, this is the card, this is the sentiment that you express to someone who's going to testify in court. Or more generally, this is a word for witnesses. This is a word of encouragement for those who are going to speak. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. And the scripture reminds us of something that we very often forget, very easily overlook, and perhaps neglect as a congregation of God's people. Honest communication is a characteristic of a loving community. And the wise man says to you this evening, whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Our teacher in the book of Proverbs, our teacher who is a well-wisher, he wishes us well, he wants us to be taught, he wants us to be instructed, he wants us to be able to conduct ourselves appropriately in the circumstances in which we find ourselves, reminds us that we bless others when we speak to them words that are characterized by truth. And the book, the Hebrew of the book of Proverbs places our proverb firmly in a relational context. Literally, the Hebrew of our verse says, whoever returns an honest answer kisses the lips. In other words, there is a dialogue going on here. There is a conversation taking place. Someone has spoken. Someone has made a statement. Perhaps they've expressed a concern. Perhaps they've asked a question. Maybe they have communicated a doubt. Maybe they have wondered about something. They have spoken, and now the writer to Proverbs says, the one who returns that person an honest answer, it is as a kiss to the lips. Here is someone speaking honestly. There are two sets of lips at work, and as you see from the way in which the verse is written, the writer of Proverbs is giving instruction, not just to little princes and princesses, because remember, this is royal wisdom for the occupants of the royal household and the members of the royal family. This is not just wise counsel for little princes and princesses. These are wise words that instruct anyone who will hear, not just people who are appearing in court, but people who have the God-given gift of communication. That God-given gift is to be used in a way that will bring blessing to others. And we remember that our ability to speak is an ability that is given to us by God. You remember God speaking to Moses when Moses lamented the fact that he was inarticulate, he was not fluent, he was not given to public speaking. And you remember how the Lord rebuked Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, saying to Moses, who has made a man's mouth? Who is it who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? I, the Lord, will be with your mouth and will teach you what you are to say. Our God is a God who gives to us the gift of speech and teaches us what we're to say. I wonder, boys and girls, have mommy or daddy ever given you a gift that you've not known how to use? Maybe you can think back to the time when you got your first bicycle with two wheels. And if you can remember back to that, you'll realize that when you received that bicycle with its two wheels, you needed some help and some instruction in order to be able to use it properly. Or you might remember when your parents gave you a gift, a yo-yo perhaps, and you look at it and you think, well, how does this work? And you get it out and the yo-yo yos down to the bottom of its string and hangs there. And you need help. And moms and dads know how to do such things, don't they? And they know how to make the yo-yos yo-yo, and the yo-yo goes out. You need help to be able to use it properly. God has given you the gift of speech, but as fallen men and women, you and I need God's instruction to be able to use the gift of speech in a way that is properly, in a way that is proper. Isaiah chapter 50, which is a messianic psalm. A messianic prophecy. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of one who has taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word he who is weary. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught." The prophet says that God is the one who instructs, who teaches individuals to know how to be able to speak the words that bring refreshment and encouragement. Of course, as I mentioned, as I alluded, that particular portion of Isaiah's prophecy is a messianic prophecy. It is referring to the Lord Jesus, the one who from his mother's knee was instructed in the ways of the Lord, so that by the time he was 12, he was able to ask wise and intelligent questions of the teachers of the temple. They were amazed at his understanding. They were marveling at the discernment of the questions that he asked. And of course, that infant Jesus being raised and soaked and saturated and pervaded with the truth of God's word is the one who comes to us from God, speaking words of grace and truth. And you remember how Jesus says, "I do not speak to you anything of my own account. The words I speak to you are the words that have been given by God, the Heavenly Father." And so the writer of Proverbs in 24, verse 26 says, "The one who gives an honest answer kisses on the lips." Here is elocution 101. Here's communication 101. Speak honestly. Speak as those whose words are shaped by the truth of God's word, whose words reflect the truth that is made known to us in the Lord Jesus. A term that's used here in Hebrew for honest, it's a geometrical term. It's a term that has the idea of straight. It has the idea of something that goes straight ahead. In other words, the honest word is a word that is clear. It's not a weasel word. It's not communication that is spun and twisted. It's not shaded and nuanced. It is communication that is clear and direct. And brothers and sisters, that's how God speaks to us. God speaks to us with clarity and directness. He speaks to us in the Scriptures. Sometimes we say, "What is it that God's trying to say to me here?" What God is saying is actually very clear. We need to seek God's grace to try to hear what God is saying to us, because God speaks words of truth. Every word of God proves true. And God blesses the hearts of sinners by speaking to us the words of life, so that Jesus, seeing his disciples begin to waver and many of them beginning to depart, Jesus said to Peter and the others, "Will you go away also?" And Peter, responding to Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 68, says, "To whom will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." You're the one who speaks the refreshing words of truth that we need to hear. And brothers and sisters, you and I need to hear the word of God. We need to be instructed from God's truth. We need to receive the clarity of the gospel message presented to us in all of its fullness. So here, the highlight falls on clear, honest, forthright speaking that reflects the character and nature of God himself. Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, a congregation of our fellow believers. He says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator." God instructs his people. In a world where there's all kinds of nonsense, where there's all kinds of delusion, where there is all kinds of falsehood, where there is every kind of fake news, we are the ones who have heard the words of truth and life that come from God Himself. That's why it's so vitally important that as we go into our classrooms, as we read our textbooks, as we study material on the internet, as we hear the messages that are presented to us, that we constantly be coming back to test those things against the Word of God. We, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, we are to speak the truth in love. And so speaking the truth, we grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, even Christ. He is the truth. So here is honest communication. But honest communication, as we said at the outset, is the characteristic of a loving community. A loving community is characterized by honest communication. These lips communicate love. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Matthew Henry says, people love and honor the one who returns a right answer. Such a one is beloved and respected by all. Isn't that great? We are to speak with one another words that are honest, words that are imbued with Scripture. Paul says that such words are like a kiss on the lips. Now we might wonder, well, are we going to do that at Knox? Maybe you've seen something like that as you interacted with the brothers and sisters at YTC. It was a delight yesterday to fellowship with them in our VBS reunion and see the way in which they greeted one another. The kiss is not a romantic expression in that context. It's an expression of fellowship. It's an expression of a genuine relationship. But we heard Paul write to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 16, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches in Christ greet you. Here the congregation of the church in Rome are to greet one another with a holy kiss. And when Paul speaks about that, Paul is recognizing that here is a congregation that manifests the unity of the Holy Spirit, and they're to express that. They're to do that as they greet one another. We don't greet one another with holy kisses. We greet one another with firm handshakes, maybe with a hug, but certainly with the eye-to-eye contact that demonstrates the genuineness of our friendship. Let us not be people who fail to interact with one another. Let's not be people whose interactions with one another are tentative and uncertain. Paul speaks of a congregation whose interactions with one another demonstrate a firm and loving commitment. And that firm and loving commitment is undergirded and promoted by honest communication, truthful communication, communication that is shaped by the Word of God. We heard Paul alert that congregation to the dangers of those who would speak otherwise. Verses 17 and 18, Paul says, watch out. This congregation that's to demonstrate such love. Paul says, watch out for those who create divisions, who cause divisions and create obstacles. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. They don't speak honest words. Their words are smooth, flattering, and deceptive. Paul says, don't let that be a characteristic of your fellowship. Let there not be smooth, flattering, and deceptive words. Let there rather be honest and open relationships. The deceptive, flattering lips, they are like the kiss of Judas. You remember Judas, who professed to be a lover of the Lord Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, and yet his loyalty was a pretended loyalty. He was treacherous. God's not deceived. God's not deceived by the words that we might say that are deceptive. We're tempted sometimes to say things from wrong motivations, to say things that are false. God knows our hearts. He understands our lips. He recognizes the sincerity of our words. It is as we believe in our hearts and confess with our lips that we are saved and have salvation. We confess our faith. We're reconciled to God as we trust in Him. Remember the second psalm that says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled." Don't be like Judas. Don't be like one whose words are deceptive. Don't be like one whose relationships are dishonest and false. Be like those who are able to interact with one another and with God, speaking honest, forthright words in demonstration of the reality of the relationships we enjoy. God teaches us to speak like that. So that's why Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that then you're equipped to speak with one another, teaching one another, admonishing one another in all wisdom, with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Let God's word dwell in you richly, so that you're able to speak to one another the words of God's truth. That's what allows God's people to be effective as encouragers when we point them to the Lord Jesus. That's what allows us to be effective as those who bring gentle, God-honoring admonition to our brothers and sisters, pointing them to the truth of Scripture. That's how we bless our little ones, by giving them guidance in a confused and confusing world as we speak to them the words of God's truth, so that they're inoculated and protected against the false and deceptive words that are spoken to them. And all the while rejoicing in the God who speaks to us, the Lord Jesus, who says, "Whoever hears my words and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." The Lord Jesus is the one, as the hymn writer says, "He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive." What a glorious thing it is that Jesus speaks to us true and honest, reviving words that give us life. And we, the people of God, hear his voice. We remember the words of the beloved in the Song of Solomon, "Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet." What a sweet thing that Jesus speaks to us loving words of life. Sometimes we sing the words of that hymn that says, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it tells of thy love to me. And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee." Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We praise you for the vivid imagery that it uses. We thank you for the compelling truths that it presents. But we thank you for the glorious Savior who reveals himself to us, the one who speaks words of life, who causes our hearts to delight and rejoice that we have heard such words as these. We thank you for that life-giving word of the gospel. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.